Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning, everyone. Have you walked off or slept off your fall festival food? Not yet. You're working on it, right? Good. It was a big, successful week for everybody. Thank you on behalf of the parish to all those who helped staff our booths. One night I was there, I think it was maybe Thursday night or Friday night anyways. I was there every night, but one of the nights I went up to the counter to buy some sausage burgers, and I wasn't able to because they wouldn't let me. They just gave them to me for free, which was very kind. But I also noticed there were like 14 people in that booth. They were like sardines. And some other places were barely able to get one or two people working for all their shifts. We were packed in like a clown car. Well done to Corpus Christi. And it paid off. This morning, Tim Zeller told me that we actually made more money this year than 2 years ago, pre-pandemic. So thank you. That helps build our parish up financially, but also just helps build our parish family. It's a good thing. Anyways, in the gospel today, we hear a long gospel passage about a man who goes to Jesus and asks a question. He goes to him wanting something out of faith, and he walks away sad. What question does he ask, and is it the right one? Pay attention to the gospel today. The times where we have not asked the right questions, where we have walked away from Jesus, let us call to mind our sins. I'd like to invite our children forward for the Children's Liturgy of the Word. Good morning. Anybody else? All right. You can always come later. That's all right. Okay. Good morning, everybody. How are you? Good. Did you have fun at the Fall Festival this week? Yeah? Good. Now, in the gospel today, Jesus talks about, he says, here's the thing you've got to do to get into heaven. You've got to be nice to people. You've got to share what you have. You've got to listen to your parents. That might be the hardest one sometimes, right? Dominic's not going to say yes. Smart kid. Good. He just looked back at mom and dad. Anyways, Jesus kind of tells us what we need to do to get into heaven. Then he says, but you've got to follow me too. As you listen to God's word this morning, may your hearts be open to live as he asked us to live, but also to follow him more closely. Go forth and listen to God's word. Why are you here at church? Yesterday morning at 7 a.m., about 20 teenage guys came to the house at Sacred Heart to have Mass on a Saturday morning, 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning. 20 teenage guys came. And then after our half-hour-ish Mass, we ran 2 miles around Wright's Hill, and 20 guys showed up for this. Then afterward, we had donut bank and biscuits and gravy. Got to reward them. After that Mass in the morning, I had a wedding here at 1 o'clock, the Wolf and Welty families. Their kids got married. A beautiful ceremony, beautiful wedding, great Catholic families. And then after that 1 o'clock Mass that we had here, I came back for our 4 o'clock Mass after confessions. I went to church 3 times yesterday on a Saturday during Fall Festival week. Why do you come to Mass? Why are you here? Don't say it out loud, but think about it. Now, why would you answer? How would you answer that question? Is it because you're supposed to be at Mass? Is it because your parents make you go to Mass? Is it because of some other reason? I think in the gospel today, this is what Jesus is trying to get at for us today. Why are you here? The gospel story is fascinating and it's deep. If you have time this afternoon, well, you should make time this afternoon to sit down and reread it and look at every single word, almost every sentence. Afterward, you can ask a question about why did the author write it that way or why did it happen that way? For example, the very first line, as Jesus was going away on a journey, a man came up and asked him, why is it when Jesus is traveling and not staying still? Like, why did the guy wait until Jesus was going away before he asked the question? I don't know. It's an interesting question. When he walks up, he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life, heaven, right? And then Jesus says, why do you call me good? Why does Jesus not just answer the question? I don't know. Every sentence that goes in this gospel today has depth to it. And if St. Paul is right in our second reading, and God's word is living and effective, both living and efficacious, and if it strikes more surely than a two-edged sword, in other words, it cuts between the stuff that we don't understand, no gray area. If it really does that, if we spend time with it, it will come to life for us and answer all those questions for us today if we do it. Anyways, I think that what happens in this gospel day, it shows us where we fall. And I think, we might be able to distinguish ourselves into three levels of faith or of participation. Why are you here? I think the lowest level is so that everyone else will just leave me alone. That's why I think many people live their faith, quote unquote. They come to Mass, or they do good works in the community, or they donate to charity, or they avoid saying the gossip word or whatever it is, in order so that people will just not bother them. If I do enough good, then no one will get on my case and my life will be easier. Well, maybe, and I hope so, right? But that's a pretty low bar. In fact, somebody I know, for many years, I think maybe 20 or 30, 40 years, he would dress up for Sunday Mass. He would leave the house. He'd be gone for about an hour and 10 minutes. He'd come back with a bulletin in his hand, and everyone in the family thought he had just gone to church somewhere. When they asked him what he thought about the homily, he said, oh, it was good, and moved on, right? But for those decades, he was dressing up to go drive around the countryside or head to the grocery store. He'd stop at the church in the middle of Mass so no one could see him, grab a bulletin, leave, and come back to the house an hour later. That's the first level. I just don't want anyone to push me or get on my case, so I'm going to just do the bare minimum. That's not even the bare minimum. He didn't even come, right, actually. I think that's what teenagers are. No offense to the teenagers who are here. Well done, right? I think it's a lot of our teenagers are. I don't want mom or dad to yell at me. I don't want my friends to think I'm not. I do the bare minimum of the faith so that my life just seems to be better, and that's all I want. Well, if that's all you want, that's all you'll get. I live my faith so that I don't get bothered in this world. Jesus today encounters somebody who wants something more than that, level two. Level two is the guy who comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit what? Eternal life. I want when I die, I want to go to the pearly gates. And Jesus says, okay. What is the answer? Keep the commandments. And then Jesus starts listing them off. Honor your father and mother. Don't steal. Don't fraud. Don't commit adultery. Love one another as I have loved you. He says, do these commands. But notice, he doesn't tell him all 10. He tells him like the second half of the Decalogue. Deca, 10, logos, word, 10 words, Decalogue, commandments. There you go, from Greek. There. Anyways, he says the second half. In other words, keep the human ones, is what he says. He doesn't say God is number one. Don't say God's name in vain. Keep holy the Sabbath day. What he says is do the ones that give you human justice, and that'll be sufficient enough to merit eternal life in heaven. Interesting, isn't it? Why just those? I don't know. Read the Bible this afternoon. Find out. Ask God. He'll tell you. But I think what's interesting is he says, here's the bare minimum to get you into heaven. And then the man who's talking to him, it's insufficient. Because he doesn't just say, great, thanks. I've been keeping those. I'll see you in heaven one day, right? He says, but I've kept all of these from my youth. Which, first of all, when I look at that, I'm like, really? You know, like, how holy of a kid were you? Right? Even though the man are you. I have been perfect in keeping the commandments, Lord. Instead of him saying, I've got it, thank you, and walking away, he waits. He says, I've already done those things, but he lingers. Why does he linger? Perhaps it's because he knows he wants something more than just keeping the commandments now, something more than just heaven later. And so when he lingers, Jesus gives him more. He says to him, if you wish to be perfect, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. And at that point, the young man goes away sad because he has many possessions and it's going to be really hard. You know, the story kind of ends there. I do wonder what happened to him. You know, does he go away sad because he is not going to come back? Like it's too hard? Or does he go away sad because like giving up some things that he likes is going to hurt for a little while? And then does he come back? Does he show up? Does he peek through the window of the Last Supper to see what's going on one day? Does he show up at the foot of the cross with his arm as close as possible to being around Mary's shoulder, but maybe hesitates? Is he close to Pentecost when the Spirit comes down? Does he see Jesus reappear at the resurrection? What happens to this guy? He goes away sad, but why does he go away? And why is he sad? Now, I think this is the distinction between the second level of I just want to get to heaven. And the third, I was on a bus a few years ago to the March for Life when I was in seminary with the Archdiocese of Indianapolis when I was studying up in Indy for seminary. Anyways, one of the priests who was leading our group, he was on our bus, and he was doing Q&A in the middle of the night, which is a great way to keep teenagers from, like, just causing, you know, problems in the middle of the night on a bus. He was doing Q&A about heaven, hell, and purgatory. That was epic. It was awesome on the bus. Any kid could ask any question about those three topics, and he would answer them on the microphone in the front of the charter bus. So one of the kids got bold in the middle of the night, and he says, "Father, are you going to go to heaven when you die?" And I was like, yikes, you know, like, what's his answer? You know, I'm going to hear this too. And the priest says, he thought for a second, he goes, "Actually, I'm not really aiming for heaven. I'm aiming for purgatory. Because if you get to purgatory, there's only one way out, and that is up," right? Yeah, you don't go to purgatory to get punished before you get punished for forever. You go to purgatory to purge you from the sinful things that you stop you from getting to heaven. That's what purgatory is, right? It's a purgation, a purifying. If you get to purgatory, you go out to heaven because you're not yet ready to enter into perfection. There's something that clings to you that you didn't give up here, either in confession or just in your heart, you know? You didn't give it up yet, and so God wants to purify you so you can experience heaven fully. It's a gift he's giving you so you don't have anything blinding you from heaven, from all of heaven, all of your loved ones, all of your favorite foods, right? For forever. Anyways, he says, "I just want to make it to purgatory because I can only go up from there." And I thought, well, that's actually a pretty good answer, you know? And then afterwards, being in seminary a little longer, I thought, no, that's a terrible answer. No offense, Father so-and-so from Archdiocese. No, he's not from our diocese, he's from our Indianapolis diocese. That's a terrible answer. Like, why would you say, "I just want to just slide in there," right? No one says, "I just want to, like, I want to make minimum wage the rest of my life." No one says, "I want my food to be, like, average at the fall festival or at home when I cook." No one says, "I want my team to be like a, you know, 500 season, not losing," right? No one aims for that. Why would you aim for that forever? Jesus distinguishes here the difference between I want to slide into heaven or I get into heaven one day, and those who are in the third level, the new thing Jesus is calling us to possibly live, and that is to be with him now. Listen to what he says. The young man says to him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus doesn't just say, "Do these things." He says, "Why do you call me good?" There's one who is good, and who is that? God. In other words, he's saying to this young man, there's one who is good, and that person is God. And if you think I am good, then you think I am God. And if I am God and I'm right here in front of you, why are you asking about heaven one day when you die? I'm here right now. You have God in front of you. Forget about heaven one day. You can have me now. No, I was with a group of nuns recently. That's the best thing in the world, by the way, being with a group of nuns. That's like the best thing on earth. The second to that is like holding a baby, like just born. Like that, those two things, like there's nothing better. People always say, like, how come women can't be priests? I'm like, how come guys can't be nuns? They're the best, you know, or moms. Moms and nuns. There's nothing better in the world. Sorry, men, that's how it is. Anyways, so these group of nuns, they wear full habits and they have a special charism. And as I'm around them, I'm thinking to myself, like, they have nothing, right? They give up everything. Give up their family. Actually, one of them that I know, she's not allowed to touch her loved ones when they come and visit her twice a year until her 25th anniversary of her vows. She can't even, like, give her mom and dad a hug. So on her 25th anniversary in a few years, it'll be the first time, if her parents are still alive, that she'll get to give them a hug in 2.5 decades. They give up everything. They give up their name. They give it all up. And yet, when I'm around them, they have more than I could possibly imagine having myself. It's because they have the only thing that matters. They have God now. You know, most of us are sitting in level two, hopefully not just level one, but level two. Most of us are sitting in level two going, what can I do? Like, how much can I give? Or who can I be so that I can get to heaven one day? And Jesus is saying to us, you don't have to wait. You can have it now. And so he says to the young man, okay, keep the commandments. And then one young man lingers and he says, sell it all and follow me and you're going to have it here. Like, you can be happy now. And the young man walks away sad. You know, riches come up in this gospel today too. Jesus says it's easier for the camel to pass through the eye of a needle. Actually, one time I was hearing a priest preach. It was really early in the morning. And anyways, he wasn't using a homily. He wasn't using a text. He was just preaching off the top of his head. And he said, men, it is easier for a needle to pass through a camel's eye than for a rich. And he stopped and he goes, yeah, than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. He was out of it. Anyways, that would be hard too. Anyways, doesn't matter. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Little historical fact here. In Jerusalem, there was a hole in the wall, and for you to get into the city to trade your goods, you had to pay taxes on your goods. Anything that would fit on your camel as it walked through this hole was tax-free. Anything you had to take off of your camel's back, you had to pay taxes on it. And so it's easier for the camel to get through the eye of the needle. In other words, people load their camels down and like hang stuff from their bellies and stick it off the back end to try to get as much stuff on this camel to make him go through as possible. They load him up and try to push him through, right? It's easier for the camel to pass through that eye than for you who are holding on to things in your heart to get into heaven. I was talking to a businessman about that passage, and he goes, why wasn't somebody standing beside that little hole and selling skinny camels? You know, that's a good business question right there. But Jesus doesn't say, what he doesn't say is, if you have money, you're damned. Does he? He doesn't say you go to hell if you're wealthy. In fact, we've canonized kings and queens. People who have had lots of money have been canonized as saints in our church. Because money, even though it can distract us, it is not in itself evil. Since being ordained a priest, I've been privileged to see the anonymous, generous giving that I had no idea happened in our churches, or here, right here at our parish. Some of the only reasons why our churches can operate is because people who have money don't hoard it. If you're one of those people who have given generously, thank you. I've already told you that personally, but thank you. We need it. And so God doesn't damn you for having money. He just says it can be a distraction. I mean, think about it. If I've got everything I need and everything I want anytime I want it, if I can go on Amazon and order anything I want and it's there in 2 days and I can get frustrated if it's not in 2 days, why do I need to ask God? Why do I need to have a community to help me? I've got everything at my fingertips. Jesus says if you want to have everything now, beware. It's put everything else second to me. You know, one more thing about this. Last thing about this. At the house of the sermon this morning, we've got dropped off 50 kukens from the fall festival. 50, yeah. If you're hungry, stop by my house a little later, okay? And we got dropped off 120 sausage burger patties. Pork burger. You'll get it out of me eventually, West Side. It's a Hopstot thing. Pork burger, sausage burger. 120 patties with 100 buns because we have a big thing tonight for teenagers at our house. The guys who have moved into the house, they have to pay for their food while we live there. We all kind of share grocery money. They've only put in $50 since August for all of the food they've eaten because people have been donating food for them. And every time something shows up, like this morning, 50 kukens on our kitchen counter, the guy comes down and he looks and he goes, why do people do this? And I said, because Jesus said, if you are willing to give up everything to follow him, you'll get how much more in this life? 100, Jesus says today in the gospel. You'll get 100 times more now and in the life to come. 100 times more. And they need to see that. It tells them that they'll be taken care of. So thank you for your generosity. Anyways, I think the question today for us is the question the young man asked Jesus. What is it that you want? Why are you here? Are you here just so that everybody else leaves you alone? Are you here because you want something later down the road? Or are you here because you want something right now? Jesus makes the promise. If you put everything else second to him, you'll have everything you've ever wanted because you'll have God alone.